Welcome to the Fantasy Football Elite Podcast. Whether you're a seasonal or daily fantasy football player, Guru Elite has the experience, knowledge, and power to make you a champion. Here's your host, Jeff Mann.
Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of Fantasy Football Elite, the podcast that's sweeping the nation. Or maybe not. I'm your host, Jeff Manns, GuruElite.com. That's where you go. Find my work over there. We have the 2018 Fantasy Football Draft Guide available. Everything you could possibly need and more right in one place. FantasyGuruElite.com. The draft guide, so much. If you guys have drafts this coming week, I know we're just about a week or so out from the season, but if you need emergency help, if you need somebody on the spot, if you need your fantasy analyst in your corner, that's what we're all about. If you get the draft guide, you have access to our draft room. Not only myself, but our entire team of experts are out there and available to you, not 24/7. No, not quite. We're averaging about 10 hours a day in the draft room, 7 days a week, and we'll be there live coverage all throughout this week, leading right up into the start of the 2018 regular season. Over 800 players ranked for fantasy football purposes. We've got standard leagues, we've got full point PPR leagues, we've got half point PPR leagues, IDP, dynasty, rookie drafts, all of that broken down by positions with ADP, with tiers. And highlighted, color-coded, all broken down, downloadable. It is right there for you. FantasyGuruElite.com is the place to go. And follow me on Twitter, at Jeff_Manns, the Jeff Manns, M-A-N-S, on other social media platforms, including Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, and the like. Folks, it's getting down to the nitty-gritty, baby. We got a lot to talk about, a lot of ground to cover today. We'll go through some news and notes from training camp heading into preseason week four. I'm recording this before the fourth preseason game. So if there's something I'm leaving out with an injury or something that happens there, for one, I'm going to be pissed. Just know that. And secondly, that's the reason I'm not talking about it. Dude, don't you know Todd Gurley like fractured his femur? Like, no, that didn't happen yet. So we'll talk about some injuries. Also today on the podcast, what we're going to do, I'm going to talk about this year's version. What I mean by that, all the breakout players from 2017, the players that either we did get, led us to championships, like Alvin Kamara, Carson Wentz, guys like that, or maybe ones we never saw coming, like Jerick McKinnon, Adam Thielen types. We've got this year's answers. We've got this year's solutions to those guys who are similar situations that all they need is the opportunity or they have a similar skill set as well. So we'll give you this year's version of that. And because we're getting down to the nitty gritty here of the fantasy football draft season, today I execute a perfect fantasy football draft. How do I do that? Well, it's an exercise that you can do over and over and over and over again at home. And it takes is one person, yourself. You could do it with another person. We did this on SiriusXM's Fantasy Sports Radio, where I host the Guru Elite Show every weekday, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time. And my partner, Ted Schuster, and I actually executed a perfect draft where we had both of us going back and forth. And essentially, you just assume everything else works out. But you need to identify if everything works out perfectly, who would you take and when would you take them and how to build a roster. I'll explain that more later on in the show. Let's get to some news and notes from around the National Football League. And basically the big topics of this week and heading into the start of the season is what's going on with the Eagles. Defending Super Bowl champions are banged up big time. We've got start at the top of the food chain with Carson Wentz, and Carson Wentz is not cleared for contact. It's a major problem, a major hurdle that he still has to go through before he's ever on the field. And the further we get down, again, if you're listening to this Friday, Saturday, over the weekend, you probably already know more than I do here, recording this on a Wednesday afternoon. Doug Peterson, though, you can tell Doug Peterson's getting pissed. Remember how cool and calm and collected Doug Peterson has been pretty much over the last 2 years. 2 years ago, Ryan Matthews went down. Yeah, man, it's fine. We'll just get somebody. It's all good. Last year, oh, yeah, Carson Wentz down, went down. All right, we'll chill. Everything's good. This year, Mr. Silver Fox, Doug Peterson, pissed, snapping at reporters, barking at people, because the Eagles have a lot of injuries that are very, very concerning right now. And Wentz is at the top of the food chain. You know, you wouldn't think – it's not the biggest of deals. After all, they won a Super Bowl with their backup, Nick Foles. The issue there is Nick Foles is banged up. He's far from 100%. And, you know, he needs some time to recover from his shoulder/neck impingement. So, really, Nate Sudfeld, the only healthy quarterback on the team, and not really good. As of now, there's no word on Carson Wentz. But I'm expecting at least 1, maybe 2 weeks for Carson Wentz to be out. That leaves Foles in there, and a brittle Foles at that. What does this do to his draft status? Honestly, there's a lot of reasons not to draft Carson Wentz. There's a lot. I mean, he was going pretty high in drafts as far as quarterbacks are concerned, at least, as it was. Just doesn't make sense. I mean, I would rather have a healthy guy, quite honestly. I mean, give me an Andrew Luck, a Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, a guy in that range. Luck, Garoppolo, Cam, Matt Ryan, Stafford. I mean, these are guys that are healthy and ready to go over Carson Wentz at this point. So that's what I'm thinking there, especially in a two-quarterback league. I'm going to avoid altogether as much as possible. I'll take – if you're going to give me a Wentz and as a QB2 in a super flex or a two-quarterback league, yeah, I'm going to take that. But that's not likely to happen still. The other big news out of Philly is Alshon Jeffrey, minimum of 2 weeks. It's going to be at least 2 weeks till he's cleared to resume practice and hopefully at that point get back into a game. So we're looking at week 3 at the earliest. That's devastating news. I've got a lot of Alshon shares. I'm okay because it's best ball. I'll be able to cover for that. Knowing he was hurt the whole time, I drafted more startable guys, or at least one or two on each of my rosters thus far. But I own a bunch of Alshon Jeffrey, which is bad news. When you start looking at it, and the Philadelphia Eagles Jason Peters is still out. Bytai looked absolutely horrific on the last preseason game when the Eagles got their throats stumped in. And then they traded Chance Warmack, their left guard, a guy who's a very good interior lineman, gave them a lot of depth. With Bytai sucking, Warmack now gone, Peters still banged up, holy cow. We've got a thinned out offensive line all of a sudden. Pretty thin, which is a departure from a year ago when they were able to overcome Jason Peters being out. Now you got the quarterback down in Carson Wentz, but you step in, you know, Super Bowl MVP. Nick Foles comes in there, but Nick Foles is banged up at the same time as well. Now you got their leading receiver from a year ago and Alshon Jeffrey out at least the first couple of weeks. And oh, by the way, Jay Ajayi hasn't practiced in 10 days. What's going on? This is a mess. This is an absolute mess. And we think everything's going to be fine because they won last year's Super Bowl. No, it's not fine. It's the meme. Cue up the meme of the dog with the fire burning and says, this is fine. It's not fine. It's bad. The Alshon Jeffrey thing presents an opportunity to us, though. Alshon being out means somebody's got to step up. I mean, there's just going to be, and maybe that's Zach Ertz. But you have two value guys, and Nelson Aguilar, who was huge playing out of the slot last year for these Eagles. And you have the other guy stepping up is Mike Wallace. I mean, Mike Wallace, Matt Collins will be guys who are going to start for this team for the first couple of weeks. And Philly played the 7th most 11 personnel over two-thirds of their, almost on the nail, on the head. 66.6% of their offensive formations were in what we call 11 personnel. What we mean by that is there's one running back and one tight end on the field. So that means three wide receivers get set up, and hence why Nelson Aguilar was so prolific last year. Can't just be Aguilar. And don't forget, Aguilar wasn't really Nick Foles' guy. It was Carson Wentz's guy. So I think there's a great opportunity for a guy like Mike Wallace. I do. Veteran player. He has been a star in the league before. I know he's getting up there at age, but I think Mike Wallace is in a real good spot. He's being drafted extraordinarily late. And this short term, whether it's the first 2 weeks, 3, 4 weeks, I mean, for where you're getting him, to get a guy who can produce in those weeks is pretty huge. You get off to a fast start for you. So that would be my answer for all the Alshon owners out there. You could stay in Philly and just, boom, scoop him up. Ajayi, his injury, if he's not ready to go by week one, it's going to be essentially all Corey Clement, Darren Sproles, essentially what it's going to be. So and that means a lot of Corey Clement, in other words. So, again, another guy we might get a good run on in the beginning stages of the season. So, again, a lot going on in Philadelphia. They're kind of crumbling before our very eyes, and there's a lot of reasons for pessimism. The offensive line thinning out, receivers all banged up, running back, quarterback, everything's getting banged up there in Philadelphia, and those are some pretty devastating injuries. Other news around the National Football League, Teddy Bridgewater gets traded to the Saints. It has zero impact on fantasy. I don't know why people care. Like, who cares? Who cares? Like, the Jets aren't going to keep him. They're going to see what they have in Bridgewater. It's interesting if something happens to Drew Brees. But that's never happened. So, and I've never been a big fan of Teddy Bridgewater, but I obviously would love him if he's the starting quarterback in New Orleans, if something happened to Brees, but that has to happen first. And with this offensive line back and healthy, again, always a possibility, but for fantasy purposes, I'm not touching it. Not at all, not even close. So there you go. Let's get into some 2018 versions of last year's breakout stars. It's a little segment I call This Year's Version. And what I want to talk about here are players that broke out and had terrific seasons in 2017, and then try to figure out, all right, not just their value, but who's the next guy in that theme, in that sort of area. Okay, and let's start out at quarterbacks. And why don't we just jump right into Carson Wentz, since we're already talking about him. And Carson Wentz made a tremendous jump from year to year, obviously from 2016, his rookie year, to 2017, where you know, he was in line to be the league's MVP through most of the season. It was a second-year quarterback, threw doubled his touchdown production. He almost cut his interceptions. He did cut his interceptions in half from 14 to 7, as a matter of fact. So, I mean, quite impressive of a jump. And for any second-year quarterback to make that kind of jump, that's pretty ridiculous. It doesn't happen very often. So we need to curb our expectations with that. I will say, remember that Wentz only played 13 games. So it was 3 games that he didn't play. And if you look at his yards per game were actually down are pretty much on point from where he was a year ago to where he is now, 240 to 247 yards per game. It's remotely close. So it's more the touchdown and interception ratio, which is going to be hard to sustain anyway. And now that he's not healthy and playing a much harder schedule, all that, the expectations for Wentz needs to be a little more clear and defined. But young quarterbacks that can break out. Now, I want everybody to ask themselves that question. Who's the Carson Wentz of 2018? I'll give you a second. Because here's what I'm betting. All right, I don't even know most of you. Maybe some people who know me. Hi, everybody, it's Jeff. I see you. If you guys actually know me personally. But the player that I think most of you would answer is Mitch Trubisky. Because I think there's a theme here. The Bears were obviously copycatting what Philadelphia did in drafting, trading up, drafting a quarterback the year before, mentoring him and everything else, although they didn't fire the coaching staff when they brought Trubisky in. So this is only – whereas Doug Peterson and Frank Reich last year had – that was their second year with Wentz. This is Trubisky's first year with former Chiefs assistant coach Matt Nagy, Mark Helfrich, the former offense coordinator, University of Oregon. So it's a little different right off the bat. And I've said this before on the podcast, but let me reiterate something about the parallels between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Chicago Bears. It's yes, the Bears the Eagles hired a Andy Reid disciple and Doug Peterson, a guy who'd been with them for a long period of time and all that. That's well and good. And yes, the Bears did the same. The differences between those two teams is when Peterson was hired, they brought in they started an analytics department of the front office for the Philadelphia Eagles. And they started it out with, it's hard to know exactly the number, but from what I've been able to gather, there were 5 people working in the analytics department for the Philadelphia Eagles in 2016. They upped that number to 16 previous in the offseason going into 2017. Okay. And the Eagles, when you break it all down and you really examine their season, and I have, especially from a fantasy standpoint, and had to dive deeper in, the two things that stand out, one is pretty obvious and everybody knows, it's the depth of the team. The amount they had Vitae, who played at a great level, and Chance Warmack, and Foles, and all these great players that stepped in when Jordan Hicks went down. They, you know, had I forget who the middle linebacker is. Bradham, I think that was it. I can't remember. Anyway, they had depth in their secondary, on their defense, offensive line, quarterbacks, running backs. They went out and got Jay Ajayi for a low price as well. I mean, they just wide receivers, they had depth. There was a lot to this team. So that stood out, number one. And secondly, they were just so far out ahead of the rest of the league in certain areas, like first down pass attempts. Crazy amount, like 60% pass rate on first down. The rest of the league was under 50. Or I'm sorry, no, 54%, sorry. But still, that's 6% may not seem like it's a ton. And it's not expected. They caught a lot of defenses off guard. They passed on second and short a ton. They ran on third and long, third and medium, and third and short, which is they at league or below league average. They were ahead of everybody, and in my opinion, all right, I think they were ahead of everybody because they game planned better, they prepared better, they scouted better, and it all stems from the front offices, acquisition, and investment in analytics. So the Chicago Bears this offseason, their analytics department consists of Brad Childress. Brad Childress was the guy, the OG in Kansas City. He was the one Andy Reid put in charge of it to start with. And he's already been booted around twice. So he's the guy that got brought in by Matt Nagy this offseason. But the Bears front office made an absolute, other than Childress, who is really not even an analytics guy. He is labeled as an assistant coach here in Chicago. They did nothing with the analytics department. Zero. Ryan Pace and Virginia McCaskey invested zero into it. And that to me is going to hamper this coaching staff, and it's going to hamper the players on the field and their production. Thus, no for Mitch Trubisky. The guy that I think is this year's true Carson Wentz, and you may miss it because everyone's thinking second-year guy, and it's kind of a second year, even though it's his fifth year, Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy Garoppolo was amazing at the end of last year. Absolutely fantastic. Okay, and it's going underdrafted. They've added a lot of weapons. They improved the offensive line. Second year in the same offense. Now, he didn't get a full offseason last year with Kyle Shanahan, but he was thrust into duty and was fantastic. Now he had an entire offseason to build off of that performance. Jimmy Garoppolo is your breakout quarterback of 2018. Book it. Other examples of this as far as this year's versions of last year's breakouts. Let's go Alex Smith, a veteran quarterback. We'll stay a quarterback. You know, Alex Smith came out of nowhere, and the Chiefs were way ahead once again. Speaks to their front office and their analytics department, the coaching staff embracing that they went deeper. Alex Smith had been labeled, and teams had defended them to be a dink and dunk and underneath type team. And then Alex Smith, right away, first week against the Patriots, he came out firing and using Tyreek Hill as a downfield weapon and all that. A veteran quarterback that I think could have a big season. And I don't think it'll translate to the numbers that Alex Smith pumped out. But it's Derek Carr. I think Derek Carr and Jay Gruden, or John Gruden's offense is going to relish in that opportunity. John Gruden is very good quarterback. He's good at preparing the quarterback during the season, in the off season. He's improved footwork. He's lessened the load on Derek Carr, shortened the drops, allowing him to make his decisions, quicker decisions, but also polishing off the route tree in which their playbook consists of, where Carr had some problems throwing certain passes and certain routes. It's obvious if you look at the reception perception stuff from Matt Harmon, and that there were some issues in Oakland last year with that. So he's supposedly ironed it all out. Derek Carr and Gruden are embracing good offensive line, some real weapons, bringing in Jordy Nelson, still having Jared Cook and some pass catchers there. And out of the backfield, I look at Derek Carr as that guy who could take an Alex Smith-like jump from one year to the next. How about the big dog? How many of you, show of hands, unless you're driving. If you're driving, don't raise your hands. Don't take your hands off the wheel. Alvin Kamara. How many of you guys had Alvin Kamara last year? Kamara. I'm a Kamara guy. I got blasted on Twitter the other day at Jeff_Manz. You stupid Midwestern accent. Kamara, it's Kamara. Nah. Shut up, fool. How dare you people? How dare you criticize the way I talk? I'm a professional broadcaster. All right, maybe not the first part, but I am a broadcaster. So Kamara, I owned him. In fact, I've told people this. I told him last year on the SiriusXM show. I don't know if I've admitted it on the podcast or not, but I actually drafted for the majority of last season. I was patting myself on the back because I had Alvin Kamara in two leagues. And I mean, this is a guy I drafted. I was big on him. We do a top five on the SiriusXM show every day. And we did top five deep sleepers of 2017. And Alvin Kamara was on my list. He was there. And nobody else talked about him. Nobody else had him there. Nobody. He was third string, remember. Adrian Peterson was way ahead of him. So I was big on Kamara, and I drafted him in two leagues, and I bragged about it. Then I found out about mid-season. I went back through some of my good and bad moves at the mid-year point, and I realized I had drafted Kamara in three leagues. And right after week one, I dropped him. Oh, devastating. I made the playoffs in that league, and I did not win it. I was out in the first round of the playoffs. And yeah, Kamara would have come in mighty handy in that regard. So that was a foolish move by me. And again, if you invest in these players, remember, you got to keep them, because there's no worse feeling than knowing a guy has the skills, knowing that he's in a great situation and all he needs is an opportunity, and then dropping him or trading him before he gets that opportunity and watching him go off. It's the worst feeling you'll ever feel. You might as well just take your balls and slam them in a dresser drawer. That would be a better feeling than dropping Alvin Kamara before he broke out last year. But this year, who are this year's candidates to be that Alvin Kamara? And the players I have, or I'm thinking about for Kamara, is none of them are – all these guys are like second or third options on the team, because I want to be true to where Kamara came from and what he did. And the immediate guy that came to mind was Nick Chubb in Cleveland. Now, Carlos Hyde did fantastic this preseason. He won the job. And Duke Johnson's going to be the pass catcher. So what Nick Chubb's role is going to be is very unclear, kind of like Kamara was last year. Chubb, I'm a big fan of him. I was a big fan of him at the University of Georgia. If you guys listen to this podcast regularly and you remember my scouting stuff and my NFL draft recap stuff, for here in season two, then you'll know how high I was on Nick Chubb going in. And I like the landing spot in front of this offensive line in Cleveland. It's all about opportunity. And basically, Nick Chubb, and it's Kamara. We have to remember, Kamara, if not for the trade of Peterson, this is a guy who could have done all that he did, but would have never done anything. He would have been a zero. He would have been inactive some weeks. Remember that. That's the fine line we walk. It's not just about talent. It's about the opportunity. And Nick Chubb has the talent. He just needs a better opportunity. Another guy to watch out for could be this year's Alvin Kamara. Jordan Wilkins, Indianapolis Colts, another young player. He's a fifth-round pick. It's a crowded backfield with Marlon Mack, who, by the way, is banged up. Nyheim Hines, who I've been saying all along is going to be the pass catcher, but Hines has fumbled the ball four times this preseason. Brewer, he's been bad. He's been pretty bad. I still think their coaching staff, Frank Reich and Nick Sirianni, they are saying all the things that they're going to stick with them. Christian Michael is done real well in this preseason. Also, it will be very interesting to see how the Colts allocate this timeshare in the backfield. But Wilkins is a very talented runner. He is a sort of a dine and dasher, meaning he's not fast with feet. His feet and his 40 times aren't great, like 4.61 or something like that, if I recall. But what he does, he makes a cut really well. One cut runner. So running some inside zone stuff, which the Colts do run and will run at times with a massively improved offensive line with Costanzo and healthy Ryan Kelly and Quentin Nelson there, man. I love this offensive line. And Wilkins could be a very powerful guy. He's a road runner. He could run over guys. He could run around guys. So I like him a lot. And I think this is a very underrated, underdrafted running game here in Indianapolis as well. So those would be my choices there. Christian McCaffrey was an exceptional pass catcher, caught 80 passes last year for the Carolina Panthers. And you guys, if you're a Guru Elite subscriber or you own the draft guide and you've been chatting with me, a number one question I'm asked is, why am I so low on Christian McCaffrey? It's a simple math equation for me with McCaffrey. What's his path to more fantasy points? I want everybody to answer that. What's the path? Like, how does it happen? And what everybody says, well, he's going to touch the ball. They're going to give it to him 20, 30 times. For one, no, they're not. They never will do that. Ever, ever, ever. They're never going to give him the ball that much. They can't. He had 107 touches on the ground last year. 107. Wasn't in the top 30 of running backs. It's barely anything. So they bring in C.J. Anderson. They still have Cam Newton. You still think they're like, well, he's gonna have a minimum of 200 carries. Okay, well, I'll concede that point. But then what? Guess what? Because if he has 200 carries on the ground, that means he has significantly less targets and catches. Significant. Because if you think he's going to have 80 catches and he's going to have 200-plus carries, I mean, you're talking about 300 touches that is unheard of by a running back. With his slender build and narrow shoulders and upper body and torso, that he'll break before he ever gets that mark. He'll get hurt. So if he carries the ball more, it's going to come in a direct conflict of his targets and catches, which takes away points. You'd rather have those points plus yards in a catch than you would, and that's where all his value is. So there's no real path to it. And you think, oh, more touchdowns. Okay, so Cam Newton's not going to run the ball on the goal line anymore? Are you freaking kidding me? Are you kidding me? C.J. Anderson's not getting any? They have Greg Olsen back, who's a red zone threat? Really? All these pieces were gone last year, and this year you think that's, oh, okay, whatever. Anyway, that's a different topic. The version of McCaffrey this year, a couple of players jump out to me. One I already mentioned, Nyheim Hines. If he's that pass catcher in Indianapolis, he could be a major weapon for Andrew Luck, a real weapon. A lot of screens, a lot of tosses, checkdowns, things like that. Because one thing Andrew Luck does fantastic is he reads the defense as well, and he can make reads fast. And the quicker he makes those reads, quicker he can dump the ball off. That's more running room for as everybody else goes into coverage or pass rushes. It's more time for that runner to gain yards after the catch in Nyheim Hines. The other one is kind of out there too, and he wasn't drafted in the first round, but Austin Eckler, Chargers. Melvin Gordon gets a huge carry share, huge, huge backfield. He's not very productive on a per-touch basis, Melvin Gordon, but his volume gives him the edge, and that's what makes him an RB1 in fantasy football. But Austin Eckler has been coming on, did well at the end of last season. He could be a big-time pass catcher in this LA offense as well. So those would be the two I would liken the most to McCaffrey. Jerick McKinnon, this might be my favorite. This is a guy, Jerick McKinnon was a veteran, a has-been, if you will, going into last year in Minnesota. He was the third running back. If Dalvin Cook doesn't go down, Jerick McKinnon never gets that money from the San Francisco 49ers this offseason. But and McKinnon was pretty much the RB1 with Latavius Murray mixing in as the smasher and the goal line back. So the player that could do that role again if given the opportunity, it's perfect symmetry, is Gio Bernard. Gio Bernard is a sneaky, effective running back. We know him third downs. He catches the football. He's always up there in targets and receptions. Fine. But he's actually pretty good when you're talking about between the tackles, picking up a little more yards per carry on average than most diminutive running backs, right? He's like just a little – he's a sneaky player that now doesn't have Jeremy Hill, and there's a much improved offensive line. It's one of the reasons we all like Joe Mixon a lot more this year. But if something happened to Mixon the way it happened to Cook, Gio Bernard's staring at a full feature back role. Can he handle it if he touches the ball 15 to 18 to 20 times a game? Probably not. Probably not. He probably will break. He's more slender. He's not a guy who could – he doesn't have the spark score necessarily that Jerick McKinnon did, and wider shoulders and larger running base. But I think for a 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 week stretch, Gio could put up some numbers if the opportunity is only one snap away from it as well. Some pass catchers, receivers, this year's version. How about last year's version of Adam Thielen? Adam Thielen was a breakout. He had the one big game at the end of 2016, parlayed it into a massive, massive 2017 season, found him in the All-Pro game and everything else, the Pro Bowl game, played primarily out of the slot, and they tried to mix him around late in last year, did not work out so well, but really well out of the slot. The two that jump out to me that could be this year's versions of Adam Thielen, number one, Trent Taylor. Don't look now, but I know they brought in Dante Pettis, the San Francisco 49ers, this offseason, and Taylor got injured and was not expected to come back this early. But he is. He's back and looks damn good. And Trent Taylor and Jimmy Garoppolo have a thing. There's a connection there. And even though Pettis has more draft stock because they took him in the second round compared to the fifth round for Taylor, the reason they took Dante Pettis so early was, and they swung way over slot to get him, is because they know Jimmy Garoppolo, he comes from that Josh McDaniels offense that has a lot of spread tendencies, 3 and 4 wide receivers. He's very comfortable throwing to that slot receiver. And that slot receiver this year is going to be Trent Taylor, at least to start. And Pettis is intriguing too. Jimmy Garoppolo's slot receiver could be this year's version of Adam Thielen. And it could outproduce Thielen, to be honest with you. And that would take some doing, but that's the kind of upside we're looking at. Other guys, big play guy for wide receiver, Robbie Anderson. Who could be this year? Robbie Anderson, remember, has bounced around a little bit, not bounced on teams, but he's done real well in preseason games before, had good training camps, never parlayed it into a season. And then lo and behold, last year, boom, Robbie Anderson producing for most of the year, producing wide receiver one type numbers. You know what I mean? So this is a guy that's entering his fourth season in the National Football League, scored 7 touchdowns a year ago. The guy I'm looking at that could be that, there's a couple. And the guy who stands out the most is Allen Hurns in Dallas. Allen Hurns is a good player. Yeah, he's got hurt. So is Robbie Anderson, very similar, but the same height, leaping ability, slender guys who are long arms and bigger hands that can go up and get the ball. Good red zone targets in both Anderson and Allen Hurns. So I think Allen Hurns is this year's version of Robbie Anderson. For Allen Hurns to get 900 yards and 6 to 8 touchdowns, not that crazy. Not that crazy. And Robbie Anderson put up those exact numbers a year ago. Another player that I would look for, and you guys, anybody who followed my work or even my Twitter at Jeff_Mans knows I love Bryce Butler. Oh, I love him. Love him, love him. He's been banged up all training camp long, so it's not on the same page with his quarterbacks, Bradford and or Josh Rosen yet, but still love him. Bryce Butler could be a huge breakout player. Bryce Butler, he's super tall, an absolute athletic freak, and guy that I noticed when he was with the Raiders in training camp back in the day, and he's traded to Dallas, spent the last couple of years there. But I really like this Bryce Butler kid. And I mean, he's only 28 years old, 6'3", 220, built like a wide receiver one. All he needs is that opportunity, and I think he could be very equivalent to what Robbie Anderson did last year. The final one of these that we'll do for this year's version, tight end, Evan Engram. I've talked about it a lot, how unnatural Evan Engram's 2017 season was, and that it was all built out of necessity. No Odell Beckham, no Brandon Marshall, no Sterling Shepard for part of the year. No other tight ends in New York, no pass-catching running backs for the most part. There was nobody else to go to. So Engram was lining up all over the field and thus had a ton of targets and produced at a very good level, at one of the best rookie seasons ever for a tight end. And I think Evan Engram crashes back down to earth this year. But we have a guy that I'm looking at that could produce similar numbers, and he's hurt right now. So don't know when exactly. They're saying 2 weeks, but Hayden Hurst of the Baltimore Ravens. You know, Ravens went out and got him. He was the best tight end in the draft, a former baseball player, good catcher, natural hands, great route-running ability. And the target shares for the Ravens tight ends is number one in the NFL over the last four seasons. And Marty Morningwood plays right in that. He's the offensive play caller in Baltimore as well. So this is a great set up for him. They drafted Mark Andrews and Hayden Hurst. They're obviously very, very, you know, they're putting a lot of stock into the tight end position here because they know that's what we're doing in terms of distributing the football with Joe Flacco and what Marty Morningwood wants to do. So that's a great opportunity. Hayden Hurst is the guy. Mike Gesicki, another one, just because the reason Gesicki reminds me of Engram is that another offense that lost its slot receiver, they're the most vacated targets of any team in the NFL going into the year. Danny Amendola is the one that expected to get a lion's share of that, and he's always hurt constantly. Devontae Parker is hurt right now. You got Kenny Stills, Nash, and Young still there, but remember, Stills put up those numbers with Jay Cutler, not with Ryan Tannehill. So Gesicki, you get, you know, if Parker doesn't develop and Amendola goes down like we expect, could be the Mike Gesicki show in Miami. So those are two names to watch right there as well. All right, folks, we have gotten to it. The perfect draft. That is what we're doing today. And I'm going to do this solo, and you guys could play it along at home, or you can play with a friend or relative or whatever. It's basically like a mock draft. What I've done here is I've taken the latest ADP average draft position data, and I get it from our friends at the National Fantasy Football Championship, a great organization that provides tremendous information to the fantasy sports industry. These are all, this is a combination of all their drafts they've done. And what I've singled out is 12 teams, full point PPR. That's the format that I have gone with in the NFFC. And that's the ADP data that I have pulled from there. All of these leagues are leagues that people spent good money, like substantial amounts of money, all the way up to $10,000 to enter a league. So these are real draft products. It's not a mock where you just draft and go. So I took this and I said, all right, let's subdivide it every 12 picks since it's a 12-team league. And what I've done is I'm not assuming any draft position at all. I'm not going any draft position. I'm assuming every other person does exactly what I want them to do. And what I have done is I've gone through and I'm going to take a single player, one player from every 12 sections. So, you know, 1 through 12, I'm going to draft one of those players. 13 through 24, I'm drafting one of those players. 25 through 36, drafting one of those. 37 through 48, drafting one of those. And I'm going to build my perfect draft as a result. All right? Now, it's not always perfect because sometimes a player doesn't fit within that 12 draft parameters, but you could just assume that's what your opponent did, and somebody's taking those guys away from you. So even though, you know, I like this guy, I would have taken him with a later ADP here. No, you don't get to do that. So that's the challenge of this exercise. And the other challenge of this, or the other reason to execute this and do this, actually perform this on your own prior to your drafts, is to get an idea of what would you really do. we spend so much time worrying about what if this guy's off the board, what if that guy's off the board, and building in that excuse. What if everything worked out perfectly? Have we ever thought about that? I mean, it's never going to. Right? There's always something goes wrong, but it's best that you have an idea. If everything worked out, what's the absolute perfect draft you can have? Let's get this perfect draft started here, folks. And we'll start out picks 1 through 12. Obviously, we have the best names in here. And I'm going to read off every player that I get to choose from. All right, according to the latest ADP, average draft position for NFFC leagues, my choices are, and I'm reading them in order, Gurley, Bell, David Johnson, Zeke Elliott, Kamara, Antonio Brown, Saquon Barkley, Leonard Fournette, DeAndre Hopkins, Kareem Hunt, Melvin Gordon, Odell Beckham Jr. Those are the 12 I get to decide between. And if this is a different draft, if I'm picking draft position and flipping back around, I would normally move down and draft either Leonard Fournette or Kareem Hunt. Like I like picking around 6, 7, 8, somewhere around there in a normal scenario. But since it's a perfect draft, F it. I get to do what I want, baby. So I'm taking the number one pick, obviously. I'm taking Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley's phenomenal. Have you noticed what John Kelly and Malcolm Brown have done this preseason? Gurley, they're saving him and everything else. I love everything about it. He's number one guy easily. I liked Zeke early on. I loved him, but the offensive line issues there, not even close for me. It's Todd Gurley in a runaway. So, boom, my RB1's locked down. Listen, for the last month, I have talked about what I would do in the first round ideally and what I'd do in the second round. And I've said, first round, I'm getting a principal RB1. One of those top eight running backs I'm getting no matter what. That's my goal of the first round. In the second round, I'm getting one of the best wide receivers in the league because I feel there's about five wide receivers that have an ADP in the second round that are really first-round guys. But because of the nature of the drafts and where players are going and scarcity that exists at running back, we're getting those first-round talents in the second round. And the players I said I would like to choose between Julio Jones, Michael Thomas, Keenan Allen, Davante Adams, A.J. Green, Mike Evans. What do you know? All of them are in the second 12. So here are the players I get to choose from in the second round. Christian McCaffrey, which, by the way, the fact that Christian McCaffrey is going almost in the first round is absolutely absurd. It's a terrible, awful tragedy of our civilization. But go ahead. I love the fact that he's going there, but I won't touch him. It's basically a free square. If you're playing bingo, you just get a free square because somebody idiot is choosing McCaffrey. Julio Jones, Dalvin Cook, Michael Thomas, Keenan Allen, Davante Adams, A.J. Green, Devontae Freeman, Joe Mixon, Rob Gronkowski, Jordan Howard, and Mike Evans, all in this spot. So where do I go? Well, top wide receiver on my board is what I want to do. It's Julio Jones. Top wide receiver on that. Out of the ones available in this round. It's Julio Jones. That's my pick. Boom. Starting out with Todd Gurley and Julio Jones is an absolute steal. It is perfection personified. It's the best two picks anybody can make in the first two rounds, in my opinion. Now we'll go to round three. And round three, we see the following players available to me. T.Y. Hilton, Stephon Diggs, Tyreek Hill, Jerick McKinnon, who's falling like a stone, Adam Thielen, Travis Kelce, Doug Baldwin, LaShawn McCoy, still up there, Amari Cooper, Larry Fitzgerald, Kenyon Drake, and Juju Smith-Schuster. If you guys see my rankings on GuruElite.com, part of the 2018 Fantasy Football Draft Guide, you will know this pick is not Juju Smith-Schuster because his ADP is 36 overall, and currently I have him 36 at the wide receiver position. So obviously not going to be on my board. Tough. This is the toughest way. But what I'm going to do here is take Jerick McKinnon, my RB2, lock it in. I love Jerick McKinnon. I know he's banged up as we speak. Maybe he misses a week. He could. But I love this offense. I want the Kyle Shanahan running back. You look at these guys when he's with Cleveland, Washington, Atlanta, and this is a backfield. Carlos Hyde, what he did last year, despite splitting time with Matt Breida. I love it. I adore it. And the reason I want another running back here is because I'm not going to mess around. And Tyreek Hill and Stephon Diggs are very good, and they're very tempting here. And I could have gone that direction and not been that upset, but I want running backs early. I'll make up a lot of ground because there's tremendous value at wide receiver late, and you're going to see that, I have a feeling, right here and now. So I've got Gurley in the first, Julio in the second, McKinnon in the third, and my pants are getting tight because I love those starting three. Fourth round, here are the players available to me. Alex Collins, Aaron Rodgers, quarterback. No thank you on the quarterback. Jarvis Landry, Royce Freeman is moving up, and I'd love to see that because Freeman's been number two on my dynasty draft board the entire process ahead of Darius Geis. Zach Ertz, Derrick Henry, Demaryius Thomas, Golden Tate, Chris Hogan, Allen Robinson, Josh Gordon, and Lamar Miller. This is excruciating how difficult of a decision this is. What I would do in most drafts, I'm just telling you guys, I'm going running back first, wide receiver second, running back third, and a very good, very, very good chance that I'm going to go running back in the fourth round as well. I want those three backs. I want to stockpile them up because, again, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth round, the value at wide receiver is absolutely tremendous. So I will concede I'm drafting somewhat of a lesser player just to fill a more scarce position because when we get in the sixth, seventh round, there are no players. There's nobody left. There are no good players. Having said that, I'm doing something different for the purposes of this draft, and you'll see why in a little bit. I'm going with Allen Robinson, Chicago Bears wide receiver. Yes, I condemn the Bears for not having an analytics department, and Trubisky might not break out and all that stuff, but I've always loved Allen Robinson. I think that spot is a golden one for A-Rob. Coming back from an injury, little scary on that, but he's looked good this preseason. I'm not trusting Josh Gordon. Chris Hogan is very tempting, especially for what I think he can do in the first 4 weeks of the season. Demaryius Thomas, also very appealing, but I'm not drafting Demaryius Thomas in any leagues because I'm targeting Emmanuel Sanders late. Will I get him? Stay tuned to find out on that. So that's how I start out. So now I have two running backs, McKinnon and Gurley. I have two wide receivers and Julio Jones and Allen Robinson. We head to the fifth round. Players available to me, Brandon Cooks, Jay Ajayi, Deion Lewis, Mark Ingram, Marvin Jones, Deshaun Watson, Corey Davis, Marquise Goodwin, Jimmy Graham, Michael Crabtree, Rex Burkhead, and Emmanuel Sanders. Oof. Again, how freaking hard can this be? I love Emmanuel Sanders this year. I love to get him at that round, but this is different. That would have been my pick. But it's not my pick in the fifth. Why? Well, because there's a better wide receiver on the board. And that wide receiver is Brandon Cooks. Cooks as a number two scares the daylights out of me. Just because there's a lot of options in LA. And actually, with Todd Gurley, it's probably not an ideal setup here. You know what? Screw it. I'm changing my opinion. I'm going to draft Emmanuel Sanders. I just realized I already had Gurley. So, yeah, I'm going away from Brandon Cooks. And I'm drafting Emmanuel Sanders. Screw it. It's my perfect draft. I can do what I want. Cooks would have been the guy if I didn't have the Rams. I don't want to be that invested. And I don't want investment in running back and receiver. I know Gurley's going to be consistent no matter what. Cooks is going to be here and there. As a wide receiver three, he still is better. But I don't build my teams that way. If you guys did it, I'm not going to be pissed. I don't think you're going to crush your hopes and dreams. But I do think you put yourself – a lot of stock into the LA Rams. And as hopeful and optimistic as we are, 1 year they lost their offensive coordinator, McVay taking over. It's a little concerning. So I'm going to Emmanuel Sanders. Screw it. So now I'm thrilled I didn't take Demaryius Thomas. How about them apples? That's right. So Emmanuel Sanders is locked down. He's my wide receiver three, and I'm absolutely thrilled with it. We move to the sixth round, ladies and gentlemen. Here we see these players available to me. Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, Julian Edelman, Cooper Kupp, another player I really like Cooper Kupp, Greg Olsen, Tariq Cohen, Kerryon Johnson, Carlos Hyde, Tevin Coleman, Marshawn Lynch, Alshon Jeffrey falling all the way down, and Rashad Penny. Why Rashad Penny's there, I will never have any idea. Round six. This is why I didn't take a running back earlier. We get Hyde, Kerryon Johnson, who I like, Marshawn Lynch, all available to us in this round. I'm not drafting Tariq Cohen, no way. I'm drafting Marshawn Lynch. Running back three, Oakland Raiders, very good offensive line. They've absolutely smashed this preseason, offensive line blocking wise and running, being able to run the football. I like Chris Warren a ton, who's behind him. I may handcuff him late in this draft. We'll see. But Marshawn Lynch, and that's what I've surmised, is like I didn't need to grab – I got a starting every week running back, a third guy, and I sacrificed nothing at wide receiver. I'm absolutely thrilled with the way this draft is working out. Round seven, and I'm only going to do seven rounds, folks. I have another podcast that is actually behind the paywall over at GuruElite.com, part of the draft guide, fantasy football draft guide over there. And by the way, our DFS product is out. It is available. I do the cash game breakdowns every single week. We do a lot of content and live streams and podcasts behind the paywall as well. If you want to join the Elite Mafia on the DFS side of things, we'd love to have you and see you guys in our chat rooms, our big Saturday night chats every single night of or every single Saturday throughout the season. A lot of great analysts too. But what we did over there, I recorded another podcast similar to this one with the perfect draft, and I went all the way through. I went 15 rounds. You guys are getting 10 because it's free. That's right. Seven. Yeah, well, I got to eat. I got to make a living, bro. Come on, man. You guys support. If you like the product, support it. What are you going to do, right? Seventh round, here are the players available to me. Will Fuller, Jameson Crowder, Evan Ingram, Sammy Watkins, Sonny Michel, Trey Burton, Jamal Williams, Devin Funchess, Cam Newton, Chris Thompson, Chris Carson, and Delanie Walker. I have a situation because, as we've talked about in Draft Pockets on the SiriusXM show and on the podcast behind the paywall over at GuruElite.com, seventh, eighth, and ninth round is where I want to get my tight end. And there's a real good one in Delanie Walker just kind of sitting here waiting for me. He's banged up now. Evan Ingram's a value selection, as is Trey Burton. All three good tight ends here. Very, very tempting, but I'm not going there. I'm going another wide receiver. My fourth, and I've said this, this is one thing that's held up all preseason long. Will Fuller in the seventh round is going to be my pick. Gets me a piece of this Texans offense and Deshaun Watson at a value price. Will Fuller is my pick. He's my fourth wide receiver on this perfect draft, and I'm ecstatic about it. Eighth round, ladies and gentlemen, still don't have a tight end, still don't have a quarterback or a kicker or a defense. Players available to me in the round eight: Robert Woods, Drew Brees, very tempting, Nelson Aguilar, Robbie Anderson, Pierre Garçon, Randall Cobb, Peyton Barber, Isaiah Crowell, Duke Johnson, Sterling Shepard, and James White. Those are the guys available to me right now in that round. And this is so difficult. Drew Brees is a tremendous pick. Tremendous. Kyle Rudolph would make a fantastic tight end in the eighth round. You got Peyton Barber and Crowell, two, you know, deep level running backs, two guys who are very, very good. They're starting running backs, but for a fourth running back would be tremendous. Nevertheless, I'm going wide receiver again, and I'm going Pierre Garçon. He caught 113 balls in Kyle Shanahan's offense last time he was healthy a couple of years ago in Washington. With Jimmy Garoppolo there, I know everybody's high in Marquise Goodwin. I'm not into Marquise Goodwin. I prefer either Garçon or maybe Trent Taylor real late. But Garçon, as a fifth wideout, he could start every single week for me. This pick most likely would have been Randall Cobb, but just the other day we got news that Randall Cobb is open for business. They are trying to trade him. They are doing all they can to try to trade him because he's in a contract here in Green Bay. They brought in a lot of wide receivers there as well. So that unknown part of this pick would have been different a week or two ago, and it would have been Randall Cobb. But I'm going Pierre Garçon on the eighth. My fifth wide receiver, still don't have a tight end, still don't have a quarterback. What the hell am I doing? Am I crazy? Like a fox, baby. Here is round nine. Jordan Reed, Carson Wentz, Jordy Nelson, Marlon Mack, Ronald Jones, Kirk Cousins, the Jaguars defense. Don't draft a defense this early. Aaron Jones, Kenny Stills, Andrew Luck, David Njoku, Kelvin Benjamin. Those are the players available to me in round 9. So, well, it's easily I'm going to go quarterback, right? All these great guys? Nope. Jordan Reed. It's ballsy to draft Jordan Reed because he's such a disaster with health and he's always hurt, always banged up. But still, I love Alex Smith's tight ends. Now that sounds a little erotic. All right, let's back that up. I like the tight ends in the system with Alex Smith as the quarterback. It still sounds erotic. God, sometimes I'm just too sexy. Just my speech is just too sexy. Jordan Reed's the guy. I have to, with his health, you obviously have to do something later on. I will try to get another tight end. Worst case scenario, later on, Vernon Davis. Just back him up, lock him down. Love either one of these guys. Whoever's starting in Washington, great tight end. 10th round pick. Well, now what? Did I screw myself out of quarterback? Should I punt it even further? Let's see who's available. Mike Williams of the Chargers, Jimmy Garoppolo, the 49ers, Matt Stafford, Nick Chubb, Ben Roethlisberger, Jack Doyle, Matt Ryan, Phillip Rivers, DJ Moore, Kenny Galladay, George Kittle, and Ty Montgomery, which Ty Montgomery might be the worst pick I've ever seen. That might be the worst ADP for a player of all time. It might be the worst I've ever seen. It's terrible. My pick is easily Jimmy Garoppolo. Easily. Love Garoppolo. I've talked him up this entire show. Talked him up this entire offseason. Yes, Roethlisberger, Stafford, Rivers, all solid. I love Matt Ryan this year in a bounce back year, but Garoppolo's my dude. I love him. I'll invest in him. I got the combination with Pierre Garçon. Yes, I have Jerick McKinnon in the backfield, but I also have Lynch. Garcon's my fifth wide receiver. So I'm still okay doing that, and I'm happy I made that switch from Brandon Cooks. Otherwise, I'd be way too West Coast involved with McKinnon and Garoppolo and Gurley and Cooks. So at least I don't have all that weight. Little more invested in the 49ers than is ideal, but I have enough depth in those first 10 rounds to pull it off. That is the perfect draft through 10 rounds. If you want more, GuruElite.com, baby. That's where you go. I've got another podcast outlining that. And I got the next 5 rounds for you there as well. Also, folks, if you like what you heard here or you've been hearing here, myself, Tommy G, Kevin Adams, MLB model on Twitter, if you follow him, our draft sheet, and Jeff Collins and Ray Flowers and Ted Schuster and Benny Ricciardi and Vlad Sedler and a cast and crew of dozens over at GuruElite.com. We have put together our college and pro football betting guide for the entirety of the 2018 season. College football picks, NFL picks every single week of the season, Thursday night, Monday night, Sunday night, primetime games, all of our picks and our plays available to you there. We've got tons of content, more shows, more programming. The betting guide is available there now. Remember, you guys live in Jersey. You can just walk down the street and bet. Online casinos are open for business. Sports betting is sweeping the nation if you guys have been under a rock for the last 3 months. But it's one thing to get into fantasy football, make money that way, and dominate our leagues. If we bet right, and if we're not degenerate people, which we're not, I'm especially not, we can make a ton of money, and we're going to make a ton of money. Last year, your boys at Guru Elite finished 24th out of 10,000 participants in the Las Vegas Super Contest. That was a full season of 5 games per week against the spread. Super Contest sponsored by the Westgate in Las Vegas. You can look it up online. Your boy is sitting right there in the mid-20s. We cashed out big time, and you can too if you get our 2018 college and pro football betting guide. Folks, follow me on Twitter at Jeff_Manz, DJeffManz, and other social media outlets. I've promoted the website plenty already. We'll be back one last podcast before the start of the 2018 regular season. Appreciate you guys downloading. If you could, leave us some feedback. Rate the podcast. It takes you 2 seconds. I know sometimes I don't do it either, but man, it sure would mean a lot to me if you guys can do it. And also those good ratings really helps me continue to pump out this good content and continue to pump it out in a free and easy fashion as well, folks. Have a great time. Good luck to each and every one of you in your drafts. We'll see you next time, everybody.